Hey, so we have Friday night. This is the 19th of February, and we are on at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And listen, I'm glad to be with you tonight. Today in this area, I mentioned on Wednesday night that the accumulation of snow on the one table in the back, 31 inches. But today, everything seemed like a summer day. It was like 36 degrees, 37, everything melting. I was out a little bit. First time I've been out into the woods in about 12 days, and I only got about 4 miles in, and mainly in massive big boots and all that. Great time in the back. Listen, I'm glad you're here. Shatterthedarkness.net on the web. That will tell you and give you a ton of things that you can look over. My name is Russ Dizdar. Listen, I want to tell you tonight we've been working on this, well, a series this week, like we do every week. Now, when you want to check in for next week, check on Sunday evening or Monday morning, and we'll have the topic for the week, and then we'll have titles for each of the days. The topic of this week is The World of the Demons Seeking to Come into Your World. Monday night was The Realm of the Demons, Their Origins, Nature, Agenda, and What They Really Want. Tuesday night, How They Seek to Get into Our Side. Can You Hear Them Knocking? Or Their Offers. Wednesday night, we dealt with the genetics of the demonic and why they morph. They see you before you feel them. Now, tonight is, listen to the title tonight. They emanate an energy, but behind the energy is the entity. And they are not pretty. Now, the reason I'm going to say that, if you don't understand this world of spirits and what they really are, the dark side, as we've said it many times, without the definition that God gives, the Spirit of God gives, that the living Christ gives, that the Word of God gives, I think we would be in for, well, what we have seen in ancient history, including back to Sumer. You can look around the world. Everywhere you find a ziggurat off the coast of China, Mediterranean Sea, all these places, the Mayans, and you're going to find places of worship, the worship of gods and goddesses, small g. You're going to find the evidences of the Nephilim. You're going to find the evidences of, well, demonic worship. The worship of these gods, small g, demanded human sacrifice, sexual sacrifice and ritual, blood sacrifice and death. And entire societies literally were disintegrating and or eventually destroyed because of the massive transmutation. Utterly, you know, listen, look at Mark's Gospel chapter 5. There's a man naked, cutting himself, howling. He's living among the tombs. He has superhuman strength, and voices that were not his own were coming out of his mouth. Now, today's world would end up putting him in the straitjacket and throwing him to a psych ward, giving him a bunch of psychotropics. Calm him down. Do what you can. That's what they did in that day. They were chaining him. That was the method of that day to contain what they could not deal with. Now, you gotta realize that the area, the people, were afraid of this man. They feared him, and rightly so, because of the harm that he could bring. And it's true that in many crimes, serial murder, serial rapists, like Ted Bundy, like Dahmer, like many others, the Ripper crew with Robin Getz in Chicago or Rollins down in Gainesville, Florida, you're going to find that there's something more than just human evil, that there was enhancement, that there was an operating, well, call it an energy if you want. New Agers love the term energy. A lot of psychics and others today love the term energy. Why is it that we all seek something beyond ourselves? Why is it that we're not satisfied with just humanity as we are? Fallen, broken, dying. We seek something outside of ourselves. I mean, look at AA. Look at NA. There's a power greater than yourself. That's part of the motivation of bringing change. And so that's the concept that we find even psychology and philosophy could not stand being dry and rationalistic. The shift has occurred over the last 35 years into, well, energy work and presence and Reiki healing and, you know, past life regressions and many other things have come into the fields of psychology and even philosophy. Well, we're inundated. There's a reason why this massive ramping up has occurred. And I'll say it again, we have seen nothing yet. Want to say hello to all those who are friends and listen, those who monitor the show, the Satanists and Luciferians. We welcome you to listen and encourage your engagement as far as, hey, you can send an email, send a question, send a comment, and send it to shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. During the show, you can send me something. Usually we can get to it right then and there, but we are behind in the emails and we're trying to continue to do 20 or 30 a day. And try to catch up to everybody. We made some phone calls to folks today and tried to return calls. And we had to leave messages today. They were out also. We love to get to everybody. We love working with individuals. Can't help it. Got to confess it. I love people. And I know the compelling love of God. And, man, that's what it's all about. It really is. See, in my eyes, there's this sense of the wonder and the majesty of humanity, the sense of wonder and majesty and the imago Dei, that idea. But there's also a crippling effect. We know that we have evil within. We know that we have some kind of operating code within us. You can call it dysfunction. You can call it anything you want to, but it's called sin. Now, the Hebrew words, and even in the New Testament, there's different words for it. Basic concept means missing the mark. And so if you want to say dysfunction, sure. As humanity, we are dysfunctional. We're not functioning the way that we were meant to in majesty, in eternity, as far as living forever. We were to be walking with God and to be, you know, demonstrating the beauty and the love and the power and the grace and, well, the image, the imago Dei, the image of God. Something came in. We know about that. We've been crushed. We opened the door. And even the death code, the idea of dying. I had an individual here. I just looked at an email concerning, well, suicide. And this dear friend has written in. I'm going to get back to him after the show. But it just it bothers me to even read an email that says things like this. Last night, a young man decided to hang himself. And it's a sad thing because, you know, we've worked with those who have tried to throw them off bridges and literally had to hold on to them and drag them back over the railing. We have had to talk people out of suicide. We have had to, well, do prayer deliverances. Individuals have been brought to our offices where we've done prayer deliverances, and sure enough, there's a energy, a involuntary feeling that they must commit suicide. There's an involuntary thinking that they must commit suicide. Or when they're so depressed and so down, there's an impulse. Now, the old ways was kind of planned suicide where everybody's giving their stuff away. Some of the signs, you know, giving things away, saying goodbye, won't see anymore, and then slowly go off to kill themselves. Kind of like the pilot. Obviously, he spent time planning, plotting, writing it all, blogging about it, doing what he did, and then running his plane into the building. Now, that's kind of the old concept, but that's more than just suicide. Suicide, homicide involved there. Now, the newer thing, and really is kind of new since the 70s, impulse suicide. Someone that's already distraught about something else all of a sudden has an impulse. Now, we had a little girl that we knew in high school that we worked with young people, thousands of them. And among these young people, there's a little cheerleader that we knew. And we're sharing Christ and doing a lot of things. Next thing I find out is she's dead. They found her hanging by a noose in the backyard where she tied it up in the tree, stood on the picnic table, and then jumped off the picnic table. The sad thing is she put her fingers inside the rope to try to pull it away and get out of it, but it was too late. There was nobody around. Impulse. 3 days prior, another boy from the high school took a gun and shot himself. He killed himself. Students were depressed. I had to go to the graveside and meet dozens of them hanging out there late at night and counsel them. The school called me in. We're ministering to everybody. Then sure enough, this little cheerleader, saddened, broken, but something entered her mind. And it was just literally an impulse. And she went. Now, I'm not going to say in every case it's demonic. But there's no question that that can be. We have dealt with spirits manifesting in lives that right in the we call it a freedom encounter or engagement or power encounter, right then and there, the demon would confess under the authority of Christ that it was there to kill them, to lead them. Matter of fact, one lady was brought in by a psychologist when we commanded the demonic presence to leave and the oppression. Everything left, the oppression, the thoughts, all of it left. This lady was so grateful. Literally, I mean, she was just so grateful that all of that feeling and all of that thinking of suicide left, because in that case, there was demonic presence. And listen, many people today are feeling energy, something on them. I'm going to tell you about a wild case in just a moment. Let me give a few announcements again, and we'll come to this incredible case, an engagement with a powerful, powerful Satanist and demonic presence and summoning of the demonic presence to engage in spiritual warfare. I'll tell you about that in just a moment. Let me mention again, please, if you got time, go to shatterthedarkness.net. Take a look at, again, the many things that are offered free. We have that course that will be offered for the next, 11 days, free. And we'll put up other stuff next month. But download that. Listen, I don't care what you make CD copies to give to others. That's fine with me. You got it free. Give it away free, please. And send it to somebody that might need it. But it's something about dealing with these subjects. And we hope that you'll take a look at it and maybe jump into a training course. Take advantage. What else are you going to do? Why are you sitting around? What are you watching television for? Come on. Do a little study, man. Get some real content and meat of the Word of God and God's presence. And let Him interact with you as you do this as a course. And take time. Let God speak into you. Let me mention the three conferences quickly. Up in Michigan, March the 27th. And we are about 40 days away, somewhere around there. March the 28th. We are about 40. No, March. I was right, correct. March the 20. Let me look on here real quick. 27th. March the 27th, Saturday, up in Michigan. And take a look at the, there's a webpage made. There's a place to click on for registering. They're not charging anybody, but they want you to register. Please let them know for seating purposes and all that, that you're coming. I was told today that there are already about 30 individuals signed up already at the Michigan conference. So we're glad for that. It's an all-day Saturday thing, 9 to 4. Take a look at that information. Second conference is in St. Louis, for those who are around that area, Christian Symposium on the Paranormal. This is April the 9th and 10th, and Tony Cowell will be speaking, and Mary Jo Schneller and Dr. Gregory Reed, Lynn Marzulli, myself. So take a look at the information. That is a particular conference that I have not seen done anywhere else as far as the topics involved. So please take a look at that. We'd love to see you come there. They also have a PDF flyer and a contact email to register and find out everything there too. Let me mention the third one down in Nashville. All the folks coming down there. Listen, myself, Lynn Marzulli, Mike Bennett, Guy Malone, Tom Bionic, Joe Jordan, Chris White, Chris Pinto. Take a look at the www.last-days.net site. And Tom Dunn's doing a great job in setting it all up and getting it all ready. Hey, and believe it or not, I talked to Patrick. Well, I got emails from Patrick Huron, author of the book on the Nephilim and pyramids and the Antichrist. And we'll bring up all this information next week. But he contacted, and I've read his first book on Nephilim. And I do recommend it. Got a lot of great things in there. And I'm reading his other materials right now. And he contacted me, and he's in Ireland. And so we are going to, and I almost never do interviews, but on a Sunday night show that we do live, the Sunday night shows, it'll be up on the website here shortly. We will be having Patrick on, and I think it's the 28th and the last Sunday of the month, and then also the first Sunday night in March. So look forward to those interviews. But I still want to say that the Nashville conference, again, when you begin to see the topics coming from different perspectives, I'm telling you that as a pastor for 30 years and being very involved in the body actively, that I can say that the church is really 20, 30 years behind on knowing what really is occurring and what really needs to be pressed. And part of that is due to not dealing with the biblical prophetic content that God gave us a heads up about. And so the content in these conferences will give a high concentration of that information. So we hope you're going to come, and we welcome everyone too, and we'll talk more about it. We're going to do some interviews with some of the guys, Lynn Marzulli and Guy Malone and others, as we get closer to the dates on the Sunday night programs. Here, I've got you for this 1 hour, a supernatural hour, because it's been prayed about. And listen, we do know, let me tell you something, there's times, and I know that Satanists and Luciferians listen. I know that some that have emailed me, that have told me what they do. We don't always tell everything out front what we've been engaged with over the, you know, over time. No question, though, at times we literally feel stuff being sent. We're familiar with that now, let alone the Spirit of God gives us a heads up sometimes. Remember how Jesus did with the disciples when he said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat." The disciples were clueless, absolutely clueless of what was in the room, what presence was there, and what was about to occur. But Jesus knew it all. So believers, stay close to the Lord. Get a heads up by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And, you know, just sometime be praying and asking, Lord, what is the enemy trying to specifically do to me? What are the assignments? What are the arrows? Ephesians chapter 6 tells every believer in Christ that you should lift up the shield of faith, and you can extinguish these arrows that are sent by the enemy. Now think about this, okay? Think about this. There's a sender, and there is, in biblical description, an arrow. When I was a kid, we used to go out, and we had these little wooden bow and arrow sets. We would go out in the yard, and we weren't so smart, okay? You got to understand. Take those arrows, we'd take the rubber tips off the top, and then we'd shoot them in the air and watch them go up, 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 and then they eventually slow down, turn around, and then they're coming down, 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 and our whole thing was to scramble around and make sure we didn't get hit. Well, none of us ended up with an arrow in our head, but there are a lot of believers out there that have, sent by the enemy, an arrow in your feelings and or in your conscious thought process. You know what the arrows are? Folks, this is the voice-to-skull stuff beyond human technologies. This is beyond all the technologies. This has gone on long before the technologies in military and other places have come up with the concept. Voice-to-skull. It's involuntary feelings, involuntary thoughts. When the evil one sends them, they will always be cloaked so that you would think that they're your own thoughts, your own feelings. But when you recognize or begin to say, where are these feelings coming from? Why am I thinking this way? Where, you know, all of a sudden it all comes to you as a barrage. You feel a little bit oppressed. God doesn't love me. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to read the Bible. I'm not going to pray. I don't feel like doing it. Nothing happened. All these things can come in, and all of a sudden you're feeling and sensing, and thoughts are there, and they're coming in and coming in and coming in. Folks, Christians that get defeated begin to succumb to that and begin to repeat what those communications are, which are always lies. And then what believers do is they exchange the glory of God, the truth of God, and then we begin to believe these things, and we get defeated. Well, we need to turn that around. And that's why we're going to talk about today this concept of an energy that you and I must understand that angelic presence in biblical times, when they appeared, many times they literally bowled people over. I mean, look at Daniel. He fell to the ground because the emanating power of the supernatural being struck him, overwhelmed him, and he fell to the ground as though he was dead. As though he was dead. You got to understand how these, just like you and I, we all have a sense of presence. You know, if you're standing in a hallway, you close your eyes, you can feel somebody coming by sooner or later. You really can. You really can. You ever been in the ocean? I have been many times. Pacific Coast. In that ocean, up to my chest, you know, I'm there, you know, and all of a sudden you feel something swish by your legs. You don't know if it's a little shark, seaweed, one of them jellyfish. You know, there's many times, boy, you got to jump and move and get out, because what you can't see can hurt you. No question about it. And in this ocean of the spiritual realm that's around us, well, there are times when we feel, like Job talks about, a spirit glided by his face. There's times we feel things and sense things. And let me tell you one story before I get to the main one. There's a lady I know very, 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 very well, my wife. She was asked by her sister-in-law to come out and work in a project of their company just for the weekend for some extra money, and they needed help. And so she went and they got them all hotel rooms, and they fed them all and paid them all. And my wife had a hotel room by herself among all the rest. And so she goes to bed that night, and all of a sudden she feels something as if it's touching her back. And she feels it again, and she literally says that it felt as though there was something fluttering. She literally turned the light on to get him to look around because she thought maybe there's some kind of big bird or something got in the room. And she turned the light on, went back around, laid down, and it happened again and again. My wife, she's pretty attentive. She's pretty cutting edge spiritual warfare wise, and she recognized this is not of God. This presence, this energy, this fluttering, that begins to touch me. She turned around and gave a great rebuke and commanded in Jesus' name, get out of this room, get out of here now, and puts up some other prayers over it and everything else. Guess what happened? It went away. It went away. That's part of the proof of the pudding when it comes to real demonic presence. When we exercise the real authority of Christ. And now listen, New Agers and psychics and others, you cannot use the name of Jesus. If you're not born of the Spirit of God, there's a danger if you try to. Since you don't have the blood of Christ covering you, you don't have the authority of Christ, Christ doesn't live in you, actually, you are vulnerable. And like in the book of Acts, when some guys tried to do this and use Jesus' name as if his name was an occult charm to speak over a demonized individual. You know, the demons actually spoke back. They said, Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who are you? And then the demonic power presence energized the person. They got up and beat the people to a pulp, ripping their clothes off. And the people ran out naked. That's a story in the book of Acts. You might want to check it out. It happens in contemporary society. If you don't know Christ, you don't have the authority to use the name and authority of the living Christ. Please understand the difference. If you're an honest seeker, if you're an honest researcher, if you're really looking, has your search led you to embrace with love, with knowing that you know that you know that you know the personal presence of God? You know the good news? You know what's really great about doing this show? That the entire time I know that God is engaged in summoning some of you, that he's speaking out, that you might even be listening today. You think it's by chance? God knows it's by divine appointment. You think, some of you think you're doing it in a hidden way? You can't hide, man. And God's brought you out on the carpet to bring the light of his love, his grace, his mercy, that there's no one that loves you more, that wants you more, and that you need more than the Lord Jesus Christ. No one greater. Can't even touch the hem of his garments. Come on, you got to know the difference. Tonight, dealing with the emanation of energy that comes from the entities. Well, we got a couple of emails that are coming in already tonight, and there's one here I'm going to have to get to later. It's a little bit broader than the show tonight, so we'll talk to you in an email back later on. And we got more information about the girl that was, literally in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. She was just tortured and bothered and harmed for hours upon hours upon hours. And I'm reading some of the reports here where it says that one of the judges wouldn't give the police officers the right to go and make the arrest of the guy that was found with some of the... District Judge Frank Pallone wouldn't give the right stuff to the officers to nail the guy down, even though he had a claw hammer, two screwdrivers, and seven pairs of rubber gloves. He was set free. Now, we need to be really praying for that case there in Greensburg, Pennsylvania, West Pennsylvania. And this email coming from a journalist that has sent it. I don't know if she wants me to tell her name or not. I'll wait till she tells me. And she's also saying this. The details of this are being released. I'm quoting now. The details of this are being released, and they are enormously distressing. In bold print, she has, please pray for Western PA, West PA area, unless she's talking about Westmoreland or Western area. It seems to be under increasing intensity in the idea of evil powers. Question then, can powers be unleashed via the media or the idea of airwaves as emotions, fear, and anger are triggered by the details? Good point for this journalist. Good point. I believe anytime, whether it's the media, anybody else that is creating fear, anger, where you have that in a crowd, just like in an individual life, fear can move to rage and then get uncontrolled. And that's where the enemy can come in and tip the scale. You know, when you're already that far gone with anger and or fear, sometimes the enemy can tip the scales individually and, yes, in a community. And I think that we see that in the Middle East a lot. In Job's case, a occult or demon-worshipping tribe, the Sabaeans, when Satan went out to destroy Job, he emanated his influence, his energy, his presence over the tribe, and the tribe came down to bring destruction over Job's over Job's, you know, what he owned, his properties and so forth. And literally guided a, but again, the precursors or the, that, you know, the foundations to be used by the enemy was already there. Same thing in Judas's life, the foundation of his deep-seated, secretive greed, his deep-seated rejection of Christ, that back door into his life was wide open. You know what the Bible says? Satan entered him. That's when he went out and betrayed Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Could you imagine that? Listen, during the show, you can email Russ Dizdar, shatterxmail at sbcglobal.net. If you're new to the show, my name is Russ Dizdar, and you can contact us there, and you can also take a look at shatterthedarkness.net, tell you everything about us, and appreciate you listening. Glad that we have folks from about 4 or 5, seems like, countries that are writing to us, that we're glad you do, and you listen to the archives also. Well, let me get into one of the stories I wanted to that really brings about this concept of, well, the emanating power or presence or felt the energy that has enhancements and abilities and giftings and things that it can even bring this into and enhance a human being with abilities. And if we're not careful, we might think, oh, this is what I was born with. I had this all my life, and I could do this supernatural thing. And guess what? If you feel the energy, you've got to ask the question, you know, what is it attached to? Any suprahuman presence, supernatural power, energy. I use the word energy here. The Greek word in the Bible is dunamis, power. It's the expressed felt. You can actually feel the power of God. The power of God can bring healing. The power of God can save. The power of God can come on a believer to be an effective witness. The Bible says in the actual words, there's power, dunamis, a manifestation, an energy, a presence of God. And that word is also used of the devil and the dark side, that there is an emanating energy, a power that emanates off of the fallen cherub and that entire realm. Now, we'll talk about channelers, Edgar Casey, psychics, Hitler, Babylon, and the old and the new, and we're going to talk about that here in the second half of the hour. But I got a story to tell you. And I told it in the book, The Black Awakening, too, but sometimes it's hard to convey in written words. But we're driving and we have this individual next to me. And if by the providence of God they listen to this show, because I know how they are, I know how they work. It's amazing to me how many actually sub-personalities and others monitor the show, do recon on the show, and even have a file. Now, if InfoGuard and places like, I mean, if there's folks like that, listen all you want. Bottom line, God loves you. This is all about you coming to know God and praying for our nation to be struck by the presence and power of God. Revival is the best thing we can possibly do for the nation we live in. And so we care, and we care about you. And I'm not, you know, God, the Bible says, God's not willing that any perish. Let me tell you something. That's what's in my heart. You know, if you're a Satanist, a hardcore, loose, you know, whatever. There's those that are mockers and arrogant that have tried to harm us and vulgar, do things and, you know, do rituals and send us letters and things with blood on it and curses and whatever else. You know what? God bless you. May God's grace come to you. May God's hand open your eyes to the living God, because the powers you work in cloak you from ever perceiving, seeing, feeling the love of God that I feel, that is beyond. Let me tell you something. Once you have the taste of the living presence of God and the love of God and the presence of God, I tell you what, That's why I say, listen, especially for the, you know, those who, listen, remote viewers and psychics, Jesus Christ, the real Christ, is the spiritual singularity. Take a hold of that. Read the Gospel of John with that idea in mind. Take a look at it. I'm driving with a satanic chosen one sitting in the car next to me. We have individuals in front of me and behind me, and we're all going to a particular location. Inwardly, I'm feeling the agitation. See, as a believer, and those that are listening to me right now that are not believers, let me explain my experience and the experience. I'm a human being that at one time I've heard the message of Jesus, and I opened my heart and life, and I accepted the living Christ into my life. Now, Jesus has come into my life. He lives here right now, and I've known him now for over 35 years. The Spirit of God's presence is there. I know the presence of God, the sense of God, the power of God. God's voice is familiar. Jesus said, my sheep would know his voice. And so there's a deep familiarity with the very presence of God. And what a joy. And how incredible. And how awesome. But now, working in the field that I've worked in, I've had to engage demonic presence so many times that it has become familiar to me, in the sense of being in places, on objects, or in and on people. And I get agitated. It begins many times with an immediate wave. I feel it. I sense it. An agitation begins, a sense of troubling. And I want you to know right now that it's weird because it's unpleasant, and you know you can run away from it, and not work. You know, you can walk into a building that where there's been a ritual. I had talking with somebody today about a store that things are happening supernaturally in the store, and we're going to check into it maybe here next month to find out, you know, that level of supernatural. You know, people are going to call it poltergeist, all kinds of those other things, you know, but it's a presence that's bringing disruption and literally causing physical things to occur. When you have that level of manifestation of demonic presence of a spirit, please understand, demonic defines, just like when you think holy angels, the holy angels are the elect angels of God. They've never sinned. They've never fallen. They are eternal beings. Angelos is the Greek word. It means messenger. That's part of their job. But they're a spirit. And demons are spirits. Fallen angels, for the most part, they can also be the spirits. Some refer to them. There's another class. Well, we won't even get into that today. Referring to the Nephilim. We don't have time. Sitting in the car, I feel this agitation. It's bugging me and bugging me and bugging me, and I know that right at the surface, or under the surface of this person's life, is an entity that is, I can almost feel like it's probing me, feeling me, trying to get into my head. So inwardly, you know what I did? I prayed in the name of Jesus, stop it, get back. I commanded it to get away. All of a sudden, out of the mouth of the person sitting next to me. Now, I didn't pray out loud. I didn't say a word out loud. It was all said within. But out of the mouth, out loud, of the person next to me came, blankety blank blank, cuss, cuss, cut that out. And I looked over. They didn't even look at me. And I said, what? And they didn't answer. I can feel that presence. I can feel the Spirit of God inside of me. I understand my authority, but I also understand how they work. They'll take as much room as they can before they are slammed back. So I prayed inwardly again. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you. I started just commanding and ordering and whatever. And once again, out of the mouth of this person, blankety blank, cut it out. I said, what? Then all of a sudden this person said, you know what you're doing. I pulled off the road. Cars behind me, in front of me, all everybody pulled off. I began to pray out loud. As I prayed out loud, the demonic presence through a subpersonality manifested. They began to chant, speaking a language, and it sounded like Arabic. It sounded like something Middle Eastern, and they were calling on Aromain, the powerful Mideast demon, to come and help them. They were literally, through the chanted language, calling and summoning demons by name. You know what I did? I called in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, on the name that every demon in hell, territorial spirit, and Satan himself knows and fears. Word of God says they tremble at that name. Now you're dealing with infinite presence and power in contrast to finite, real demonic energy and power. So they got louder. I got louder. They got louder. I got louder. They kept praying and chanting and calling on spirits and Aramaic to come. I kept calling on the name of the Lord Jesus, rebuking everything, commanding it to stay away, asking the Lord to stretch out his hand, crush the enemy, crush the demonic. And I prayed. All of a sudden, she grabbed her head as if she was seized, opened the door of the car, literally went running off. Running off. We couldn't find her for an hour. A military trained, high powered complex we call Chosen One. Interesting thing. If you go to Acts chapter 16, you're going to read about how Paul and the team of, just soul winners, they were going out sharing Christ and sharing the city. There was a lot of goddess worship there and all kinds of things. And a young girl was following them. She was like a psychic. And she begins to spout off, these are, servants of the Most High God. Probably, most likely, wanting to either counterfeit the presence of the Holy Spirit and make everybody think she's one of them, or mockingly, hey, these are people, of the servants of the Most High God. Well, you know what happened? This went on for a while. If there is a real spirit, demonic spirit, unclean spirit, evil spirit, please understand that as they operate, power emanates, energy emanates off of them. The Bible tells us in one translation that Paul became troubled. One translation, the Greek word could mean he became agitated. As a believer in whom the Spirit of God dwelt, he became agitated. And finally, he turned around, looked at the girl directly. Go read it. If you want a little bit of training, if you're a believer in Jesus, there's a simple training. Paul did what Jesus taught in Luke 10. He turned around, commanded, and the Greek word for the spirit inside this girl, know what it was? This gave her the ability to predict some things in the future. She wasn't like psychics in remote years today. They're not accurate at all. Some things occur because there is a supernatural enhancement. The Greek word is python. Python. The concept is a very powerful demon. And he commanded to get out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. Notice some things here. He didn't say, hey, do you want to be delivered? He didn't say, hey, do you want to get saved first? Because she probably couldn't have. With this presence speaking through her in manifestation, he did what Jesus did, what I tell everybody to do, what I would do, turn around, and commanded the spirit, get out of the girl. Here again is proof in the pudding. When the demon python left, she could no longer do any of the enhanced predictions. The spiritual prostitution that was going on, the men of the city, these guys of this kind of a little spiritual cult, that they were making money off of her. It's like satanic ritually abused people. When these people are younger, the perpetrators, the elitists, they're making money off of these people. They don't want you to get them healed or out of the coven. They're making money. They're hoping to make more than that in the future. Rank and power and elitism. They use them just like Judas was used. And when that presence is really there, and when there's a real deliverance and a real power encounter like this, guess what happens? The spirit leaves. She can't do this stuff any longer. Can't make money off of her. You know, these other guys using her. Guess what? You know, big old riot starts. You know, maybe the spiritual presence in the atmosphere of that town, the energy emanating from the goddess worship there. Well, they went into a craze, fit about all of this. And that happens at times. You know, you engage, you know, the demonic. Sometimes it's like hitting a beehive and knocking it right out of the tree or wherever it's at. But all of a sudden the bees come out. You got to take care of everything, folks. Now, I can't do training on deliverance procedures here. You got to come to one of the conferences, folks, and get some of the teaching, or look at our site. We have some things up there for you, too. By the way, the course, Confronting the Powers, will help you with that, too. Let me go on to a few things here. The engagement with that girl is like what we see happening. And here's why I care about remote viewers, and I care about psychics and all these folks in the New Age. You guys are experiencing spiritual energy, energy work, presence, and energy on you. And the energy gives you enhancement, kind of like, you know, 5-hour energy. 5-hour energy, by the way, when you drink it, is supposed to give you enhancement. Why else drink it? Why else pay, what is that now, $3 a bottle? $3 a bottle. Starbucks is a couple dollars a cup. My goodness. That's all about enhancement. But hey, you see, I went out into the woods today and, you know, I drank certain juices and things. And yesterday I had dried oatmeal in a, with real cranberries and, light level soy protein and blend it all together in a mix. And I drink it and it tastes great, but you know what? It just gives me energy for the day. It's extremely healthy. It's really an enhancement for the human body. That's a normal thing. Okay? That's a normal thing. When you eat a Snickers bar, the only enhancement you get is in your taste buds. It doesn't enhance your body at all. Your body doesn't process chocolate. Though I've never had a piece of chocolate that brought me depression. That's for sure, too. Chocolate, in my eyes, is a good thing. But back to this. When it comes to suprahuman or non-human enhancement, we've got an MP3 out on that here lately, too. Go to the site, check it out. Non-human enhancement comes upon channelers, psychics, remote viewers. Edgar Casey was a major case. Let me mention a few of these, and I want to touch on one big name. Because the same individual that I dealt with in the car that day that had that presence that all, you know, blew into a big power encounter, we got engaged because they had the abilities to remote view. They had contact back to Ingo Swan. They had high-level technical training. They told me how they remote viewed my home. They did a lot more of it long before they told me about it, too. They put me in contact with one of the public remote viewers that I talked to on the phone a few times. And that I pray about to this very day. It's been over 5 years of prayer. I just can't forget. I can't leave it alone. Because a compelling energy, presence, helps lead me and encourage me. I'm telling you, by my experience, there is a love so deep, so broad, so wide, so filled with grace right now that no matter what. Listen, if you're listening and you're a big, fat, old sinner, you know, if you've got filthy sin all over your life, Jesus Christ loves you, died for you. He's the sin bearer. He can cleanse you, take it all away, and give you his power and bring you out of that life of death. Right now, turn to Christ. You can come to him. And see, New Agers and psychics and remote, you can all talk about your experiences, but none of you explain or talk about your deep and wonderful and powerful relationship with Jesus. You know why? Because you don't have it. And you're selling out to a fake, demon-given, demon-described fake Jesus that can't help you. In the context of this power and energy, I'm going to mention three things. It can be felt in places, even in the air around a place where big rituals are done. Those who are believers, if you've been to churches or revivals where the power of God struck, or if you've read revivals like the Whitfields and others, and God's power is in an area, and truly, if you've been in one, you'll know that it's like God's power hangs in the air, is everywhere. The lifting and the pointing to the living Christ is incredible when there's this great surge of God's presence and power. But now when there is a massive and deep rituals being done in an area and being unleashed. And you can think about Babylon where Daniel lived. They had 56 temples and demonic rituals and things were done constantly. And it would be without question that the atmosphere, the place, the location, the locality, on the ground, on the street level, in the air would be a sense of thick, dark presence, a sense, a light sense, or even a heavy sense of that energy, that presence. And I'm going to say it again to remote viewers, psychics, others. If you sense it in energy, if you sense some kind of superhuman or non-human energy enhancing you, if that energy or that presence guides you away from the living Christ, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not just energy. Remote viewers need to understand that when you go passive and connect with the Akashic Records or the Universal Mind or whatever it is you want to call it, and allow data, that's called revelation. You allow data to come in and connect you to the spiritual grid out there. That spiritual grid was defined 2,000 years ago, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. There is in the atmosphere, the dense atmosphere right above us, spiritually speaking, a presence. There's an energy. Those who've written the book and talk about the energy field, that sense out there, you're correct. But you're not correct about what it is. Behind all the energy emanating is the entity or entities that energy is coming off of. So if you've got enhancements, you better ask listen, I've got enhancement. I've got the power of God, charismatic giftings of God. I've got the Holy Spirit of God. I've got human enhancement. I've got Holy Spirit perception. I've got the living Christ in and with me, let alone above me and definitely far beyond me, infinitely so. So there's no question that I'm talking from a standpoint of I confess I have non-human enhancement. God, the Spirit of God, the living Christ, the Holy Spirit's work, and it's enormous. Now, New Agers and remote viewers and Satanists and Druids and Wiccans and you don't have that. You might have other things, but you don't have that. You can. Channelers have an energy operating like, again, Casey did, Edgar Casey, and psychics and remote viewers do. Let me give you a name real quick here towards the end. Hitler. What do you think about Hitler? What do you think about Hitler when he got up and spoke? There are people that said that he had a, especially when he got up to speak, there was a supra or non-human enhancement. I believe that with every ounce of my being, there was. There really was. Over the political ideology, over the atmosphere of Germany at the time, over the military structures, there was in the air, on the ground, Wurtzburg Castle, Hall of the Dead, places of ritual, there was on the ground. It was all there. Now, when Hitler died and Germany's losing and so many of them died and Himmler and all the rest of them, guess what? The spirits and the powers, the energy that guided, where'd they go? Where'd Moloch go? Where'd the Baals go? Where did the gods of the Mayans go? You understand something? They're still out there operating, looking to bring their enhancement to reel people in. That's what bait is all about. Bait always, well, to the fish, bait is a good thing. They love worms. But in the concept of spiritual bait, just like fish bait, though it might seem good, and there's something that seems to be good that is offered, when it comes from that side, there is a eternal hook involved that involves closing your eyes to God and drawing you so far away that you might never be able to turn around and see the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ, of the power wielded at the cross, of the sinless blood that was shed purposely for you on a personal level to break sin, to break death, to break hell, to break Satan, to give you the gift of indestructible immortality. You see, I'm going to see the face of God. He's going to embrace me as I look upon God. Because of this indestructible immortality, this gift of God, this is what Jesus did at the cross. New Agers and Casey and Nostradamus and Sylvia, they can't talk about it. They have a fake Christ, but they can't talk about the real because they don't know the real. It's time to get into the real. Listen, if you're a believer in Christ, it's time to know the presence, the power, the, if you want to say, energy, the dunamis of God. Ephesians, listen, we can see this in Acts 8, chapter 1, verse 8, to be filled with power from on high. Or in Luke's gospel, the last chapter, clothed with power from on high. Listen, do you know the power of God in your life, the power of the Holy Spirit to guide your prayers, guide your witnessing, guide your discernment, guide you in the joyful sense of worship? Christians can surrender and be yielded and seek and ask the Lord to clothe them, fill them, and saturate them with the Spirit of the living God. For those who don't know Christ, you can come to the living Christ. He can come in and break the counterfeits, deliver you from the hooks of the enemy, and bring into your life the very living presence of God. Great joy, great love. You'll come to the end of the search. Come to Christ. Let me know about it. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. We'll see you Sunday night or next week. God bless.